We are at this question where Prajnad is asking Babaji Maharaj that Lord Krishna has an average size, how can he be present everywhere? If we accept Lord Krishna as a form, we must also accept his form. He can only stay at one place at one time. Limited in this way, he must have many faults. How? He must fall under the control of... Now he must fall under the control of material nature, modes. No longer can be supremely independent. How can all these defects be removed from the Lord Krishna? Then he says, Ray, you are conditioned by Maya. Because of your conditioning, you are thinking so. So this conditioning makes a person is conditioned so much that he sees only matter everywhere. He sees form means matter. Matter means limited. So he cannot imagine a form which is unlimited. But as Krishna has a form which is unlimited. So spirituality defies all the laws of modes of nature. So spiritual form means which can have a form and at the same time have the nature of unlimitedness. So this is inconceivability. And this inconceivability naturally leads to the discussion about Shakti, of the energies of Krishna. So, more elaborately it will be discussed in the next chapter, means when you talk about potencies. Next. O saintly Babaji, Sri Radha Krishna's form, beauty, features, pastime, companions, homes, forest grows and all else of them, really spiritually. Wise man will not doubt that. However, in what times and places do they manifest their forms about in pastimes? Answer. Sri Krishna is the master of all potencies. He can make possible things, impossible things possible. There is nothing surprising in him. He is playful and enjoys transcendental pastimes. Whatever he wishes is at once accompanied. He has all powers. If he wishes, he can bring the transcendental form and above to the material world. There is no doubt about that. So now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he explains that it is the wish of Krishna that he can do anything, and if his wishes are accomplished by his potencies. That we will discuss more elaborately in the next chapter. Go further. The doubt is this. By his own will, Krishna appears in the material world. However, the people who see him tend to think that this transcendental body is spiritual in a material place like other material places. Like Dham. His transcendental form is another material form, like the form of ordinary human beings. And his transcendental pastimes in Raja are ordinary material activities. Why do they see like that? If it is true that Lord Krishna has mercifully appeared within the material world, why do not people see that his form is spiritual? Now, one of Lord Krishna's limitless transcendental qualities is mercy to his devotees. Employing his Aradhani Shakti, he gives his devotees the power to see that everything about him is spiritual. To his devotees, he reveals everything about his transcendental pastimes. However, to the non-devotees, eyes, ears and other senses, which are contaminated by many offenses, cannot see any difference between the pastimes of the Lord and other historical and relative human activities. So here the mercy aspect is there. We know it very well in Bhagavatam. Thapite deva padam bujadvaya prasadare shanu grihita evai chana vijatattvam bhagavan mahim achanyachiram vichinnam. That verse is a very famous verse which takes, until unless there is mercy of the Lord, we cannot understand the Lord. And whomever he shows mercy on, to him the Lord reveals. Upanishads also talk about it. Nayam matma praveshane labhyo namedasha. So whenever comes, you talk about the understanding of the Lord, immediately you can quote these two verses, which are very famous, and Prabhupada quotes it many places. One is Athapite Deva Padamujadvaya. Other one is Nayam Matma Pravachana Labhyo Namedasha Nabhavanashutena. Okay? Yamyavaishvanishetena Labhyas. Whoever the Lord select, he will reveal. So you can note it down, these two verses, whenever you feel like. You can quote this. Rajanath. Then he did not Lord Krishna, now in the previous verse Bhaktivinoda Thakur told Lord shows mercy to the devotees so that they can understand him, but non-devotees cannot understand. Then the question is, well, what about the non-devotees? People in general, he is not favoring them. Did not Lord Krishna descend to this material world to show mercy to the people in general? He only comes for his devotees, not for others. He descends to this world, his descent to this world brings all auspiciousness. It is true. When he descends to this world and manifests his transcendental pastime, the devotees can see his form and pastimes are purely spiritual. The non-devotees surely see them as material. Still, merely by seeing them, the non-devotees gain great pleasure or great spiritual merit. When this spiritual merit accumulates and becomes very great, they become able to have faith in pure devotional service. Therefore, the Lord's descent to this world brings great benefit to the conditioned souls too. So, when the Lord appears, devotees recognize Him as the Supreme Lord, they serve Him with great pleasure. And those who are not devotees, they will get some benefit. That means everybody gets benefit. You want to speak, those who are enemies of the Lord, they also get benefit. That is the subject matter in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. That is how when Parikshit Maharaj told Sukadeva Goswami, I want to hear about Krishna, why? He gave many reasons why I want to hear about Krishna. He gave 4 reasons. So, because, you know, he saved me in the womb. No, he saved my grandfathers. And also, it is said that this person, he came and then gave a special position to those who are even demons. Those who are envious of him, he gave them benefit. So it is very special. So in this way, he delivers demons also. That is why he benefits everyone. Sarvaloka Kshemaya. Then Vajranath asks question, why are Lord Krishna's pastimes not clearly described in Vipraja Veda? If that is the case, if Lord Krishna descends to this world with a spiritual form and abode and pastimes and all these things he does for the benefit of devotees and in general, why Vedas don't talk about them clearly? Now, on every page of Veda, again and again, sing the glories of Lord's pastime. In some places they are described directly, in other places only they are hinted. When the words of text directly refer to Lord Krishna, the descriptions are direct. An example of that is the following words in the Chandogya Upanishad. Direct description. The same thing which is quoted before. Chama chamalam prapadhye, chamala chamam prapadhye. Chaman chaya chaya mam prapadhye. So to attain Sri Radha, I take shelter of Lord Krishna. To attain Krishna, I take shelter of Sri Radha. So this direct description. In these words and the words that follow in the Chandogya Upanishad, the liberated souls and their service to Lord Krishna is different in different dresses is clearly described. When the words only hint at descriptions of Lord Krishna, the description is indirect. In the conversation between Yajnavalka, Gargi and Maitreya in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, the description of Lord Krishna is first indirect and then it is ends indirect. In some places the Veda have direct the Vedas have described Krishna's eternal pastime directly, and in other places, chanting the glories of the impersonal Brahman and Super Soul. The Vedas have described Lord Krishna only indirectly. In truth, the Vedas have taken a vow to chant the glories of the Lord Krishna only. Okay. Now, going further, Rajana. Now, O saintly Babaji, Lord Krishna is Supreme Truth. Of this, there is no doubt. However, what is the status of Brahma, Shiva, Indra, Surya, Ganesha? A big problem in India. And other demigods worshipped in this world. Please tell me. It's not such a big problem in the West, but in India it's a big problem. Please tell me. Many Brahmanas say that Shiva is the Supreme Truth and no one is higher than him. I was born in the family of such Brahmanas. And I have heard and repeated this idea since childhood. What is the truth of this? Please tell me. Now, there is the entire description. I cut short the description just for the sake of saving our time because most of you know this. Just for illustration, I just mentioned this thing. Now, I will describe to you the relative merit of ordinary living entities. The demigods and demigoddesses. Demigoddesses. Goddesses, okay. Worshipped in this world. And the Supreme Personality of God. Please listen. I will now repeat to you the list of some Krishna's transcendental qualities. They are described in these words by great philosophers. Rupa Goswami is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. That you can refer. You know very well these things, well known in ISKCON. 64 qualities of Krishna, 4 are very special. and Narayana has got only 60, and even those 60 which Narayana exhibits, Krishna exhibits them in more wonderful way, and then Lord Shiva has got only 55, Narayana has got some 5 special things, and if you, Brahma has only 50, and other living entities manifest only 50, only to this limited extent. That is well known to all of you. I think, hope you know it, isn't it? You heard about it. That is why it removed all those things. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives elaborate description and talks about the distinction between, yes. It is not his convenience. It's in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It's all in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. No, it's all Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Rupa Goswami quotes scriptures, different Puranas, different things he quotes. It is not written by his own this thing. It is all there in the Puranas. No, it's not his kind of opinion. Of course, it is the Gaudiya opinion. Definitely Gaudiya opinion. But it is there in the scriptures. Everything is having a scriptural basis. Bhaktirasam Sindhu Rupa Goswami writes them with the scriptural basis, he writes. I just avoided this because there are certain things which you already know about it. So I did not want to get into that. Now comes chapter 14, the most important of all the all the tattvas, Shakti. Because Shakti, without Shakti we cannot do anything, isn't it? There's an interesting thing. We know that those who are Mayavadis, they don't accept Shakti. They just say Brahman, there is no Shakti. Once I went to Badrinath, on the way to Badrinath, there is one place which comes Srinagar Garhwal. Srinagar is a very famous place, the original capital of the Himalayas, where Narada became bewildered. You know that story? How he was cursed Narayana to become monkey and all. That story happened there in that place, Srinagar. That deity is there, where the Lord appeared and married that Lakshmi there. Narada was just looking what's happening. He had a monkey face. So there, Sripad Shankaracharya had come. At that time, he became very sick. Srinagar, Adhishthana Devi is Durga. Durga is she is in charge of that place, that Srinagar. That is why that place is known as Srinagar. Sripad Shankaracharya had come there and he became very sick. And he was traveling alone to Badri. And he did not, could not even lift his hand also. He was lying down. Then a small girl, she came with a glass of water. Shankara was asking, I want water. And she gave. Then Shankara told, I cannot drink it. Then she told, why? I give the water, drink it. I don't have the even energy to, the Shakti, the potency to drink water. Then this girl told, without Shakti, you cannot even drink glass of water. Do you think the Lord can create? And then ran away. And that is the time he could see that she is the Shakti, Adipara Shakti. And then he started glorifying the Saundarya Lahari. It's very beautiful. Prayers of Shankara, glorifying Durga, of course. He could see Durga, but Durga is a shadow potency of Srimati Radharani. But at the time he actually recognized there is potency. Till that time, Shankara, in all his Vedanta, he was only talking about no potency, nirvishesha. So, Shakti is a very important discussion in all Vaishnava philosophy. The speciality of and Gaudiya is we talk more about Shakti than the Supreme Lord. Though it is explained in other Vaishnava philosophy, it is not very clear. How it is, that we'll discuss as the time goes by. So, the 14th chapter, that is Nitya Dharma Sambandhavideya Prayojanam, that is Pramayantargata Shakti Vichar. Shakti Vichar. Within that Pramaya, Lord's potencies are discussed. Now, continuing from the previous thing, when he thought what he has heard in the previous night, from the elderly Babaji, Vajranath became filled with bliss. He thought, the teachings of Lord Gauranga are wonderful. When I hear them, my heart becomes filled with nectar. When I hear them from saintly Baba's mouth, my thirst to hear them increases more and more. No part of them seems illogical. They seem to be supported by scriptures. I cannot understand why the Brahmanas criticize them. I think they criticize because they are impersonalist. Thinking in this way, Vajranath came to Raghunath Das Babaji. Actually, it's a character created by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. The discussion is happening. It's cottage. Seeing saintly Babaji, Vajranath offered dandavat obeisances. Saintly Babaji happily embraced him and made him sit down next to him. With an earnest heart, he said, "O Master, I wish to hear the third verse of Dashamula. Please, kindly recite it." The hairs of his body upright, spiritual happiness. Saintly Babaji recited the third verse. Now, first one is about scriptures. Second is about Paratattva. Third one is about Shakti. Parakhyaya Shaktir Apradigapiswa Sevi Mahimni Stito Jivakhyam Swam Chidabhitam Tam Tripadikam Svatantrecha Shaktim Sakalavishaye Premna Paraha Vikaradhye Shunya Paramapurusho Yam Vijayate. So, Vikaradhye Shunya. Vikaradhye means what? Vikara means transformations, because of the modes of nature, the influence of the modes of nature. Vikaradhya means transformations because of the modes. Shunya means without being influenced by the modes. Paramapurusho Vijayate, the Lord who is without the influence of the modes, Vijayate, let there be all glories to Him. Now, this Lord, what is His position? Parakyaha Shaktir Apritagapi. Parakhyaya Shaktir. Akhya means being told or is described. His Shakti has been described as Para. So, Parashakti. Though this Parashakti, Pritagapi. Pritagapi means though it is different. Pritag means different. Sasve Mahimni. Though Pritag, Apritagapi. Or apritag, though it is non-different, he is not different, apritagapi. Sasve mahimni. Sasve mahim means what? He is situated in his own glory. Now, when you say the Lord has potency, then the thing comes that he is not having something. Isn't it? He has a walking stick. What does it mean? He cannot do anything without the walking stick. So that is the fundamental problem in the Mayavad philosophy. Why they don't accept Shakti? Because if they accept Shakti, that means the Lord is not independent. So now here, the Vaishnavas or Gaudiyas explain how the Lord is independent though He has energies. Because the energies are dependent on Him. So as soon as you say energy, immediately people think that, okay, you do with energy. If you don't have energy, you cannot do. But the Lord, our explanation is, the Lord has energies, but at the same time is independent. Because the energies are dependent on Him. So that is the whole thing. As we go, it will become more clear. So let us go further. Stito jivakhyam swam achit. Abhihitam tam tripadakim tripadikam. Now he is situated in his own transcendental glory. From him are manifested his spiritual potencies by which all his desires are fulfilled. His potencies of the individual spirit souls, the potency of the innate matter. So from him, these three, that is what? The Parashakti manifests into Jiva, manifests into in this material world. Svatantrecha Shaktim Sakala Vishaye Prerana Paraha. So, Sakala Vishaye, all this, whatever you find in this world, they are all manifested from this Shakti. Let us have a better understanding of this verse as we go further. Now, immediately Vajranath asks a question. The Brahmanas say that the Supreme Lord is impersonal Brahman. He has no potency. It is only when he appears as the supreme controller that he has potency. What do the Vedas teach about it? So let us have, this question is not just an easy question. The Brahmanas say the impersonal Brahman is having no potency. But how do they say when the Vedas talk about some potency? They say this potency is for Ishvara, not for Brahman. So they discriminate between Brahman and Ishvara. That is the first problem. When a Mayavadi says Ishvara, Krishna is Ishvara. They also say Krishna is Ishvara. But what is their concept about Ishvara? He is a product of Brahman. For them, Ishvara is a product of Brahman. In Bhakti Shastri, those you have done, I taught second chapter. At that time, we discussed about two vadas, Parinama Vada and Pratibhimbada. Must be remembering, no? So, when we discussed that, if you remember what we told about Ishvara, why Mayavadis are called Mayavadis? Why Mayavadis are called Mayavadis?
Because they say Ishvara.
Very good. It is because they say Ishvara is a product of Maya. Main reason why Mayavadis is called Mayavadis is because they say Ishvara is a product of Maya. Say for example, this Brahman is there. Imagine this is Brahman. Now, they say, somehow when Maya affects Brahman, somehow. I'm using this word somehow, but technically they say anirvachaniya. They use this word. Anirvachaniya means it's inexplicable. Anirvachaniya. Don't ask. So you should only ask which I can answer. Only ask those questions which I answer. But I should know what you can answer then. So many terms are used to, it's called, Prabhupada says, word jugglery, isn't it? That is what is very much nicely used. Only thing is that is a Sanskritized intellectual word jugglery, which people think something higher. Do never think if somebody is thinking, talking something complicated, he's talking something higher. It's a big problem. Especially in India, people think, until you speak something which you don't understand, it is not truth. So, here, of course, I'll talk about those two vadas. So this, many vadas are going to come into picture when we talk about the Shakti. So here, only when he appears as a supreme controller, here the word supreme controller, when Babaji is referring to, it is referring to the Ishvara in the concept of Mayavad. In the concept of Mayavad, Ishvara means Rama, Krishna, Narasimha, Vamana, you name it, like Durga, Ganesha, Indra, all these people, who are they? They are product of Maya. When Brahman affects Maya in totality, and now they even say this Maya has two potencies, Vidya and Avidya. They accept Maya having potency, Brahman doesn't have potency. When the Vidya potency influences Brahman, then Ishvara comes out. When the Brahman potency is affected by the Avidya potency, when Brahman is affected by the Avidya potency of Maya, Jiva comes out. So, very complicated. If you talk something simple, it's simple. But if you talk something like this, truth, but actually it's so false. Now, what do Vedas talk about it? Then immediately, Babaji Maharaji quotes verse. In every feature of the Lord's, of the Lord, his potencies are manifested. The Shweta Ashura Upanishad 6.8 declares, very important verse. If you are a Gaudiya, you should memorize this verse. Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate natat samasthyabhyadikashchata rishyate rasya shaktir vividhai vashruyate sabhavige jnana balakriya cha. So Prabhupada quotes this verse. Every two lectures you will find this verse is being quoted. Every alternate lecture you take out and you will find this verse will be quoted somewhere in the lecture. It will just say parashakti vividhai vashruyate. That one line is quoted again. Because this verse clearly states that the Lord has potencies. Now, Tatnatasya karyam karanam cha vidyate. The Lord has no work. He is not obliged to do any work. Why? He has no work. For you to enjoy, you need to do some work. Even if somebody prepares something and gives to you, you have to put it in your mouth, digest it and do all kinds of hangama, then only you will enjoy. But the Lord doesn't have to do anything. He has only one work to enjoy. To enjoy is the only work. Whereas in this, in our case, we have to work and then enjoy. So, natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate natat samaha. Nobody is equal to him. Natat abik adikaha. There is nobody is superior. Drishyate. I cannot see anybody. Now, how is he able to do all the activities in this world? The Veda says that not even a blade of grass moves without him. How is it possible then? Then it is all done by para asya shakti. Asya shakti means his potency. Para asya shakti. Vividhaiva shruyate, it manifests into many, many forms. And basically, three. What are they? Jnana, Bala and Kriya. They all manifest automatically. Swabhavik means automatic. Now you find this world is automatically going on. And scientists say everything is like automatic. By chance, automatic, it is there. They are actually not wrong. They are seeing the potency of Krishna acting so wonderfully. They don't see Krishna behind it. Like you find everything is automatically happening in VHE, but if you don't see people behind it, then it is like that. What is happening? Everything is happening automatically. It's like that. Like famous example, somebody is traveling in a ship. Nice wind is coming. Automatically the ship is moving. But you should go to the engine room and see the big machine. People are working on it. No. People see things are happening automatically because they perceive the potencies are working so wonderfully. Jnana Balakriya. See, Jnana Balakriya, don't get confused. We are more conversant with Sat, Chit and Anand, isn't it? Samvit, Sandini and Halani. It's the same thing. Jnana is Sat potency and Bala is Chit potency. Sorry, Jnana is Chit potency, Bala is Sat potency and Kriya is Haladini potency. Kriya means pastimes. Pastimes is bliss. And here, Bala means existence. You can hold something without strength because existence is Sat. And Jnana is experience, that is Chit. So, Jnana, Bala, Kriya are nothing but Samvit, Sandini and Haladini. Sat, Chit and Ananda. So, don't get confused. There is something different here. No, it is the same thing. Okay, go further. The Lord's Ichcha Shakti, the potency that fulfills His desire, all His desires, is described in these words in Shvetasa Upanishad. Te dhyana yoganugata apashyan devatma shaktim swagune nigudham yatkaranani nikhilani tani kalatma yuktani adishtatyekaha. Wrapped in a meditation, the sages then saw the mysterious potency and transcendental quality of Supreme Personality of God, the first cause, who alone dominates the secondary cause from time to the living entity. So now it is described. Wrapped in meditation, all the sages saw the potency. This Shvetashvara Upanishad says, even when Vyasa saw the Supreme Lord, he saw bhakti yogi manasi samyak pranite amale apashyat purusham purnam tat mayam cha paashrayam. Now here it's a very important point to note. When Vyasa sat in trance, now you are going to end this chapter, isn't it? First canto you are doing. Most of you are doing first canto. In the sixth chapter you are doing. Just after the sixth chapter, when Narada leaves, he says, then immediately Vyasa sits in meditation, because in the fifth canto, or the fifth chapter, Narada has instructed him. Samadhi navastita. You sit in samadhi, and then you will see whatever you see described. Then Vyasa sat in samadhi. That very famous verse, Samyaprasa, Saraswati, Paschimetire Saraswatyam, Samyaprasa. Then in Badri, he sits there and he goes to trance. You've been to that place, Samyaprasa, on the western bank of Badri, western bank of Saraswati. Have you been there? You've been there. Samyaprasa, very, very beautiful place. That you have to cross that beam full. That there's a big stone, beam I put as a bridge. And from there you have to cross over and go to that place, Samyaprasa. So there Vyasa, he sat in trance and he saw. What he saw? Bhakti Yoga Manasi, in Bhakti Yoga. samyak pranite amale apashyat purusham purnam. He saw apashyat, he saw, completely he saw. Purusham purnam. He saw purusha purna. When he saw this purusha purna, he saw Krishna. And when he saw Krishna, he did not see Krishna alone. He saw along with Radharani too. But it is not described here. Why? Because something secret is not revealed directly. But apashyat, by using the word, he did not use the word pashyat. By use the word apashyat. By using this word apashyat, clearly it is explained that how he saw Srimati Radharani, Vrindavan Dham, all the things he taught. At the same time, he saw Durga. Mayam cha tadapashrem. Maya was behind. Why? Virajyamanasya, because she was very much ashamed. How can I come in front of the Lord? Because I am doing some service, but the thing is, I am taking the jivas away from the Supreme Lord. So, you know, this is what is explained in the Upanishads. They also saw this thing. They saw the Supreme Lord's potency. Now, in the Svetashtana Upanishads, they saw the Jiva Shakti too. Lord's Jiva Shakti, the potency that is individual spirit soul, described in these words in the Svetashtana Upanishads. Ajamekam lokahita shukla krishnam bhavati praja sujamanam sarupaha ajohieko jushamano nishuste jahatyenam bhuktavogan najonyaha. The unborn man, very interesting, you see, an unborn man enjoys an unborn red, white and black woman. They see, why Upanishads are talking this thing? Who bears many children like herself? And another unborn man first enjoys and then forsakes her. It's like a novel or something like that. But it is not like that. The unborn man, here man refers to Ajam ekam lohita shukla krishnam bhavati prajaha shyamyam sa rupaha. Now this woman who is red, white and black is Prakriti, made up of modes of material nature. Okay. So now one man enjoys her and produced what? All this material world. You find earth, water, fire, air in the Bhagavatam. Most of you must be knowing this thing. How? Saikshata, by looking at the material nature, what happened? The whole cosmic manifestation came through, Ahankara came from that, this. Third canto, and that is my subject when I come on February. I have to break my head on that now. This came from this, this came, ether from that came, and this came. First I break my head, then break your head for that. 17th of February. Whenever I open the book to study, I will do next day. Reach hand first. And then this another unborn man. This unborn man, the second unborn man which is described here, is the jiva. The jiva first what tries to do? It tries to enjoy. And first it tries to enjoy and then get frustrated and then somehow get a saintly association and forsakes her, gives up. So now, these the sages, here the Svetashtra say that they saw the living entity also, is also Shakti. The Lord's Maya Shakti, the potency that is in the material world, is described in these words. Chendam siyajna kritavo vistu kritavo vartani bhutam bhavyam yaccha veda vadanti asman maye shijati vishvametat tasminschanyo mayaya sanniruddha. The Veda describes a bewildering variety of hymns, prayers, sacrifices, rituals and vows, austerities, history and predictions of the future. Simply by studying the Vedas, it is very difficult for a conditioned soul illusioned by Maya and trapped in the material world to understand the Supreme Personality God, the controller of all illusory potencies and the creator of the material universes. Now here, there is one word used. That is Mutanam Bhavamechat Vedvadanti Aspan Mai Shrije Vishwametat Aspan Mai Shrijate Vishwametat Tasmins Chanyo Mayaya Sanyuddha. that is Mayi Shijate. This world is created by this Maya potency of Krishna. Now, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur further says, the word Parasya Shakti in the Svetashvapanand indicate that of all the Lord's potencies, one is the most important. Para Asya Shakti. Asya means Krishna's own potency. The Vedas never say the Supreme has a feature without potency. When he has qualities, he is a Supreme Personality of Godhead. When he has no qualities, he is impersonal Brahman. It is the Lord's most important potency that manifests his future as feature of impersonal Brahman. Now, some people say, okay, Brahman doesn't have potencies. No. Even Brahman has potencies. Even Paramatma has potencies. Bhagavan has potencies. Because the potency which Bhagavan possesses, that is Parashakti. I am using this word Parashakti, but we are more conversant with Swarup Shakti. So this Parashakti, Swarup Shakti, both are same. Parashakti and Swarup Shakti both are same. The Vedic language is Parashakti, but the Gaudiya language is Swarup Shakti. If you read most of the Gaudiya books, you will find this Swarup Shakti, Swarup Shakti, Swarup Shakti again and again coming. Even in the commentary of Vishwanatha Thakur, you will find this word Swarup Shakti coming. Like you have Jnana Balakriya, as mentioned in the Upanishads, is Samvit Sandini and Haladini. In the same way, what is mentioned in the Upanishads as Parashakti, that is here mentioned as Swarup Shakti. Asya Shakti, Para Asya Shakti, his own Shakti, his own is translated as Swarupa. Swarupa Shakti, that's all. Okay? So, going further, it is the Lord's most important potency that manifests his feature of impersonal Brahman. In this way, it is seen that impersonal Brahman does indeed have a potency. The most important potency has been described in the Vedas in many places, where it is called by the names as Parashakti, Swarup Shakti and Chit Shakti. Now it comes here only. Okay. The impersonalists imagine that the impersonal Brahman has no potency. The truth is that impersonal Brahman is beyond the understanding of the impersonalist. So be very careful. Very important statement. See, Mayavadis, they are not even impersonalist. To be impersonalist is also a big thing. That means to understand Brahman as it is very important. Like Four Kumaras. Four Kumaras are not Mayavadis. Sukadeva Goswami was not Mayavadi. They are what? They were Brahmavadis. So these Brahmavadis and Mayavadis, they are different from each other. They are distinct from each other. Mayavadis are Krishna Aparadis. They do offense towards Krishna. Whereas these impersonalists, like Four Kumaras, when they find, then they have association with pure devotee, all descriptions of Krishna, they become devotees. Like the Four Kumaras, when they associate with Tulsi, they became pure devotees. But Sukadeva Goswami, when they heard Bhagavatam, these verses describing about the beauty of Krishna, describing about the mercy of Krishna, compassion of Krishna, they became devotees. So, not every impersonalist is a Mayavadi. If they are not having hatred for Krishna, they are having impersonal concept, by coming in contact with the devotee, they get personal concept. But those who are envious of Krishna, they would never become devotees. That is why, just because somebody is having some impersonal understanding, don't just criticize him. It is just because he doesn't have any association with pure devotee. Okay. The impersonal feature of the Lord has potencies explained in these words, the Vedas, the Svetashvapanas. Eko varno bahuda shakti yogat varams anekam nihitartho dhadadi. Although he has no qualities, by his potency the Supreme created a great variety of material worlds. or though he has no qualities, by his potencies. So now, ya eko varno bahuda shakti yogat, by shakti yogat, by his potencies, varan anekam nihitartho dadati, he has manifested so many things. Now that the personal feature of the Lord has potencies explained in the words of Veda. Ya eko jva jalavan ishta ishani bihi sarval lokan ishta ishna ishani bihi. Employing his potencies, the Supreme Person created this material world. In this way, you can see the Supreme is never bereft of potencies. The self-manifest Supreme Lord is always accompanied by them. The self-manifest Lord is the master of the three potencies as described in the mantra of the Shvetasura Upanishad. Now after describing these three in separate verses, one verse which describes all three. Let us see what is this.
Savishvakritvishvaviddhatmayoni jnatakalakaro guni sarvavidyaha pradhana kshetrajna patir gunesha samsara moksha sthiti bandha heto.
And this is also a very famous verse. Especially the whole verse is not quoted, the third line is quoted.
Pradhana kshetrajna patir gunesha. In the Bhagavad Gita, you will find this quotation at least 2-3 places. Especially the 13th chapter, you will get this thing.
Pradhana kshetrajna, because kshetrajna, this word comes where? The 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Kshetra kshetra vibhaga yoga. So these people, to explain that how there is another kshetrajna. Pradhana kshetrajna patir gunesha. He is pradhana kshetrajna. Krishna is pradhana kshetrajna, super soul. And in patir gunesha, he is the master of all the modes.
Samsara moksha satibandha heto.
And somebody comes in touch with him, they become delivered. So the translation for this. Supreme Lord, the creator of this cosmic manifestation, knows every nook and corner of this creation.
Savishvakrit vishvavid atmayoni.
He created and he knows everything. What is that Bhagavatam verse? First one.
Janmadhyasyato vanmayaditaratas chartesh abhigneswarat abhignaha.
How does he know? Directly and indirectly.
Vishwavid atmayonihi. Jnana kala rupo guno guni sarvavidyaha.
Pradhana kshetrajna patir gunesha. Although he is the cause of creation, there is no cause of his appearance. He is fully aware of everything. He is a super soul, the master of transcendental qualities. And he is the master of this cosmic manifestation in regard to the bondage, the conditioned state of material existence and liberation from the bondage. So three things are explained. One is the soul getting liberated by, in association with him. Number two is the master of the modes. And he, by his potencies, creates the material world. Going further. The three potencies of the Lord are described in this verse. Here, here the word pradhana refers to maya shakti. The word kshetrajna refers to the potency of the individual spirit soul. And the word kshetrajna pati refers to the Lord's spiritual potency. The idea that when Supreme manifests his impersonal feature, he has no potency, and when he manifests his personal feature, he has potency, is an idea created by the fertile workshop of the impersonalist. By the fertile workshop of the impersonalist imagination. In truth, the word, the Lord is always the master of all potencies. When the Lord is situated in his own glory, and when his original natural condition is manifest, when he is manifested as a Supreme Person, he is always accompanied by his potencies. Thus his desires are always fulfilled. The Lord's desires are always fulfilled because of his potency. Whether he is in the personal form or the impersonal Brahman, in all state, the Lord is accompanied always with his potencies. When somebody asked Prabhupada about can we worship Krishna alone? Prabhupada became very angry once. Radha and Krishna can never be separated. The potency and the potent, both can never be separated. Now comes our philosophy. If he is always accompanied by his potencies, and if everything is done by the potencies, then how is he independent? Because if you bring the concept of potency, then in this world we are dependent on the potency. I cannot do anything without potency. So now the same flaw is attributed to Krishna. When you say Krishna has potency. If Krishna has potency, that means he is impotent. That is why he has potency. So if he is always accompanied by his potency, and if he like we know when we told the stories, Krishna cannot do anything without Radharani and all this, people say, oh, you see, that means your God is useless, he cannot do anything. That is why when you want to discuss actually rasa shastras, you should be very perfect and thorough in the tattva shastras. Without being very perfect in tattva shastras, if you talk about rasa, then maybe there is a chance of becoming sahajiya. Like if you want to dance, you need to have a stage, isn't it? Isn't it? So if your tongue has to dance on the on rasa tattva, that stage should be very clear about the Krishna's transcendental position. The tattva should be very clear. Anyhow, so immediately Bhaktivinoda Thakur gets into the point. He says, Shakti, Shakti Matayor, Abhedaha. He quotes this thing. In the scriptures it is said, Shakti, Shakti Man, or Shakti Matayor, Bheda. Bheda means what? Difference. Abheda means non-difference. So, Shakti, Shakti Matayor, Abhedaha. There is no difference between Shakti and Shaktiman. So when we say Krishna has potency, then it means what? Krishna and potency are different from each other. No, they are not different. At the same time, they are different. Their manifestation is different, but they are not different. So, we'll go further. The potency and the master potency are non-different. The potency is thus to whatever the master of the potency desires. The duty of the Maya Shakti is to manifest the material nature. The duty of Jiva Shakti is to manifest many individual spirit souls. The duty of Chit Shakti is to manifest spiritual world. After assigning these duties, different duties to Chit Shakti, Jiva Shakti and Maya Shakti, the Supreme Lord steps back untouched and unchanged. So, just see here. There are three Shaktis, Chit, Jiva and Maya. So, what did he tell Chit Shakti to do? What did Lord told Chit Shakti? Manifest the spiritual world. He told the Jiva Shakti to manifest. And he told the Maya Shakti to manifest. And the Lord steps back. Sleep like a boss of a company. You know? He comes and says, do this, and he will sleep. Untouched and unchanged. We'll discuss about this. Untouched and unchanged. If these actions are performed because of his desire, how can he remain aloof and unconcerned? So, how is it possible that how he can be aloof? If his desire that certain things be done, he will certainly be affected by the result. Suppose somebody has a desire, I want to get this. Even though the boss is there, he told these three people do it. And they do gadbad, what will happen? Everything comes on to whom? Boss. If you do something, it really comes to him only. So ultimately he is affected. But the Vedas talk that the Lord is untouched with the material modes. When the scriptures say that the Lord is not affected, the meaning is that the Lord never undergoes any material change. His material potency is a reflection of his internal potency. Though it is explained that there are three potencies here, that is Chit and Jiva Shakti, Chit Shakti, Jiva Shakti and Maya Shakti. This Maya Shakti is what? It is a shadow of the Chit Shakti. So though Krishna has created this world, he has instructed Maya Shakti, but he doesn't instruct Maya Shakti. What is he looking? Whom is he looking at? He is only looking at Chit Shakti. And the shadow of the Chit Shakti creates this material world. That is Maya Shakti. Okay? Whatever the material potency Maya does may be real, but it does not exist eternally. The changes that Maya produces do not last eternally. Therefore, the Lord never undergoes any material change. Whatever changes the Lord may manifest in His desire or in His pastimes are all manifested by His spiritual potency, Chit Shakti. These changes are manifestations of His spiritual love, and therefore they are free from the fault or impurity. They are included within the spiritual knowledge, although it is by His wish that Maya Shakti creates the material world. The Supreme Lord remains perfectly spiritual in His nature. In the great varieties created by His spiritual potency, Chit Shakti, there is no touch of matter or Maya. When they hear the descriptions of great variety manifested by the Lord's spiritual potency, ordinary people whose intelligence cannot convince of anything beyond matter assume that those descriptions must be descriptions of material things. Thus, they are like people who are suffering from jaundice. See, everything is yellow, as they are like people who, standing in the shade of cloud, cannot see the sun. The root meaning is the material potency is a reflection of the spiritual potency. Therefore, the varieties manifested by the material world is a reflection of the variety manifested in the spiritual world. To one who looks superficially, they seem to be the same. However, the truth is that they are exactly opposites. A mirror's reflection of a man's body seems to be original body. However, the position of all the various limbs is inverted in the reflection. In the reflection, the right hand is left, left hand is right. Therefore, material eyes see the variety of spiritual and material worlds to be same, although spiritual eyes see them to be indeed opposites. Actually, the material variety is a perverted reflection of spiritual variety. Superficially, they are seen the same, but in truth, they are different, free from material changes. And His every desire at once fulfilled, the Supreme Personality God controls the material potency Maya and gives her various tasks to fulfill. So, it's a very condensed presentation of a very important philosophy. This material world has always been a question. How is this material world created? How this world, the Lord creates this world? Regarding this, there are so many descriptions about how the Lord creates this world. So many theories about it. The Mayavadis have more than 100 kind of wrong theories. It is not that there is only one kind of Mayavad. There are more than 100 kinds of Mayavads. More than them. There is Pratibimbavad. There is Bimba Pratibimbavad. There is Vivartavad. There is Parichedavad. You have Satkaryavad, Asatkaryavada. Many combinations of these things. So it is not that there is no conflict between the Mayavadis. They also have many conflicts. They also say, you are wrong, you know, I am right, and it is all going on. It is not that they are just one. Of course, we see all of them as one. To see all Mayavadis as one, that means we are doing an error of being a Mayavadi. Don't see them as one. There are also many, many varieties of Mayavadiya. So every question arises, all the Mayavadi is saying Sarvam Kalidam Brahman, but in that also there is so many varieties. So it is surprising to see that there are so many varieties about, many, 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 many people have any kind of thoughts about Mayavadi. So now let us have a very simple understanding of what is this all about? How the Lord creates this world? The Mayavadis, they don't accept any potency. So they say the Brahman transforms into this world. This transformation sometimes is real and sometimes it is unreal.
So, Parinama means real transformation. Vivarta means unreal transformation. So these Mayavadis, some Mayavadis, they say this transformation of Brahman into this world is unreal. Unreal is just, it's not real. It's just assumed. That is why they say this world is Brahma Satyam Jagat Mithya. So that philosophy is known as Vivartavada. But there are some Mayavadis, they also accept that Brahman transforms into this world. They say Parinamvada. So now, what is our stand regarding this thing? How the Lord created this world? Our stand is simple. We also accept Parinamvada. But we don't accept Brahma Parinamvada. We accept Shakti Parinamvada. Whether you are having a very good understanding of it or not very good understanding of it, just whenever somebody says, how the Lord created this world, immediately answer, Shakti Parinamavad. How the Lord created this world, what is the immediate answer? Shakti Parinamavad. Shakti Parinamavad. Actually, philosophically speaking, when somebody asks you, what is your philosophy, what do you say? What is the answer you should give? But that is not the answer you are supposed to give. A scholar will laugh at you. Of course, in ISKCON, if you give the answer, they will give 100 marks. Real scholar, they ask, what is your Siddhanta? You are supposed to say, what is your Vada? What is the philosophy which you are accepting regarding the Lord creation, creating this world? What is the answer you are supposed to give? Shakti Parinam Vada. If somebody asks you, what is your Pantha? Who are you? What is your Pantha? These are the two identifications of a sadhu or any devotee. What is your philosophy and what is your line? What is the mood which you accepted? What is your Pantha? You say we are Hare Krishnas. But that is good for newspapers and other things. But in the scholarly circle, you say we accept the Vairagya Pantha. There are many Panthas. Vairagya Pantha. We belong to the Vairagya Pantha. We belong to the Vairagya Pantha. So, our philosophy is Shakti Parinamvad, our Pantha is Vairagya Pantha. That is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what did he say? Vairagya Vidya Nijabhakti Yoga. That means that word Vairagya Pantha is being described there. There are many Panthas. There are some sadhus, like you find, they don't belong to Vairagya Pantha. That is why they accept sometimes intoxication, sometimes okay, some other things also. But they are still called sadhus. But, and that is the reason Prabhupada told, the grihasthas in our movement are also sannyasis. Because we belong to which Pantha? Vairagya Pantha. And that is the reason there is no distinction between a sannyasi and a grihastha. It is only for the sake of social formality we have made this sannyas, etc., etc. Before Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, there was no Gaudiya. They were Gaudiyas, they were practicing, they were going back to Godhead. There was no sannyas system before Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. Sannyas system formally was brought by Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. Because for the purpose of preaching, that's all. So accepting sannyas is actually secondary in our movement. But in Mayavad philosophy, accepting sannyas is a process of self-realization. Sannyas, accepting. That is why when somebody asks Shankaracharya, I want to learn Vedanta, he says, first take sannyas and come. These days what people talk about, Mayavadis and all, the teachers and all, they just, you know, smoke cigarette and speak Mayavad. But sannyas, Shankaracharya, if you go to even today, if you go to Shankarmat, they teach you some Vedanta, but the real aspects of Vedanta, higher levels, they only teach after taking sannyas. It is a standard set up by Shankaracharya. It's not a joke. So, our philosophy is Shakti Parinamavada. There are so many other vadas. Sat Kriyavada, Asat Kriyavada. Asatkaryavada, Satkaryavada. Like Sankhya's, they accept Satkaryavada. Sankhya philosophy, they say Satkaryavada. Satkaryavada means, they say the effect should have been in the cause. The effect should have been in the cause. Like you sow a mango seed. Mango tree only comes. No? That means already the mango tree was in the seed. That is where it came. But Nyaya Vaisheshika, they accept Asat Karyava. That means they say that the effect need not be in the cause. It is not in the cause. That is what their thing is. So many kinds of philosophies. They give the example that the dog is barking. Does that mean the barks are made? The dog is made up of barks? No. The barks are coming out of the dog. So many kinds of examples and so many things come. So we don't want to confuse so much, but let us know what is our philosophy first and have a perfect understanding of what. Shakti Parinama Vada. So to put it into English, Shakti Parinama. First, from the Lord, the energies emanate. First is emanation. So from Him, the Lord, the energies are emanating. After emanation, there is expansion. And after expansion, there is transformation. So emanation, expansion and transformation put together is called Parinama. So the word Parinama is not just transformation, it's emanation, expansion, transformation, all. So that is called Shakti Parinama. So from Krishna, energies come out. What is the first energy which comes out? Parasa Shakti, Chit Shakti. From Chit Shakti, he expands into the shadow. That is what? Maya Shakti. That Maya Shakti transforms. So that is called Shakti Parinama Vada. Okay. Now, since this material world is a transformation of Krishna's Maya Shakti, and this Maya Shakti is nothing but the shadow of the Chit Shakti, whatever you find in the Chit Shakti is there in the Maya Shakti also. Whatever you find in the spiritual world is there in the material world also. But what is the difference? What is the example given? Mirror. Left is right, right is left. Isn't it? That is the only difference. Whatever you find in this material world, you want to know what's happening in the spiritual world, just see this material world. Whatever is in the spiritual world is in the spiritual world. But in its original form. When its original form. That is the only difference. So, in this way, whatever, actually, there are so many problems in different areas of philosophy. But the major problem was in this area. The connection with the Lord and this world. And this problem got solved only after the Gaudiyas came, only after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and explained the philosophy of Shakti Parinamvada. Transformation happens, but doesn't happen to the Lord. It happens to what? Shakti. But which Shakti it happens? To the shadow of the Chit Shakti. To the shadow of the Chit Shakti. Not to the Chit Shakti itself. That's how we have it. We have this great philosophy called Shakti Parinam Vada. Even Ramanuja and Madhva, they had a very big problem. Still they have a problem. And Ramanuja, in Ramanuja philosophy, regarding this Shakti, that is Lakshmi, there's a big split. Even till date, they fight. The amount of fight which they have among themselves, two kinds of philosophies, Vadagalai and Tengalai, is so much so that you just cannot even imagine. They go to court case. Which kind of tilak should be put to the elephant, which carries the Lord? Yeah.
The judge came and told, okay, he was a British judge. So he told, 6 months yours, 6 months theirs. Now another court case came. Which 6 months? Of course. Now how to wear sari? This way or that way? We wear this way. We wear that way. So just a small confusion about who is Lakshmi. Is she Shakti or is she Jiva? Of course, they don't even accept Lakshmi as... if you tell Lakshmi is Shakti, even they become very annoyed. No, Lakshmi is Narayana himself. And then, how can you say Lakshmi himself? Then they say, no, Lakshmi Narayana Mithuna Swabhava. They use this word. So very, very difficult. Because in Ramanuja's Siddhanta, the position of Lakshmi is very confusing. Even Madhva, when he speaks about this, how the creation happened, how the Lord is aloof, he brings up this Siddhanta of the Bimba Pratibimba Vada. Very little bit complicated about it. I do not talk about it. He talks about rainbow and all this stuff. We will not go into that. So it's very difficult. It's not very clear. Ultimately, all of them, they had this problem, which they could not solve. That is why they somehow or other, they had this para parinamvada, or so, the Lord himself has transformed into this world. So Ramanuja gives the example of sharira, shariri. Sharira, shariri. Sharira means body, and shariri means the soul. Like the soul in the body maintains the body in the same way, the Lord is the soul of this universe. And Madhva says that that means the Lord is in touch with the material nature. He goes to another example. In this way, there's a big confusion. And our Acharya has solved this confusion by this simple term. What is this term? Shakti Parinama Vada. You remember it? That's enough. Solves most of the problems. And in English, what is Parinama? Emanation, expansion, transformation. Remember all the three words. It is not just transformation. Where is the Shakti coming from? Shakti is not independent. So, it is emanated from the Lord. And it emanated from the Lord. That Shakti which emanated from the Lord is what? Swarup Shakti or Parashakti. So, after emanating, what had happened for it? Transformed. The transformation is the Chaya. Chaya Shakti. That is what we hear in the Brahma Samhita. Chayaiva yasya bhuvanani. Chayaiva yasya. When Brahma Samhita says Durga is the shadow potency of Krishna, it is actually not the shadow potency of Krishna. Shadow of the potency of Krishna. Getting the point? It is not the shadow potency of Krishna. It is shadow of the potency of Krishna. Chayaiva yasya bhuvanani. When you say yasya, para asya shakti. Yasya means his. His is shadow. So here, his is potency. And shadow of that potency. That is how we understand. So Krishna's shadow is who? Who is Krishna's shadow? Can Krishna have shadow? Krishna cannot have shadow, isn't it? You may say Abhimanyu. But Abhimanyu, Krishna's shadow is also spiritual, isn't it? Then Krishna's shadow, he is also, Abhinav is also Satchitananda Vigraha. He is not a conditioned soul. Do you think he is the pastime of Krishna? Isn't it? Okay, we have some idea, something about this thing. Let us go further. Yes. Yes. How he is the origin at the same time aloof. For example, if I am the origin of something, I should have the things which are there, which I am giving. So for example, I remove something from my pocket and give it to you. So you got it in your hand. That means whatever you had in your hand, it was already with me. So Krishna created this world, he took it from me and gave it to you. So what is there in this world? Earth, water, fire, air, ether. Three modes, nature. The Krishna has it? No. You're getting the point there? So how to solve this problem? And now, if he has these modes, that means modes are vikara. Their transformations are happening. So that Krishna is also influenced with the modes then? Isn't it? So this is the problem in the philosophy. So how can God, Brahman, who is described as non-transferable, create this world which is transferable? Like somebody says, you know, you go to your office and then say, oh, you kept your office so clean. Then you see his hands. How can you clean without your making your hands dirty? So this world is, say for example, it's dirty. And Krishna made it. His hand should be dirty then? No. How he got this world done without being touched with it? That's where it is. So Krishna got it done through his what? The shadow of his potency. So that is why emanation, expansion and transformation. So the transformation having to his Swarup Shakti or Chit Shakti, that is spiritual world. That is being totally spiritual, that is not influenced by any kind of modes. So there is transformation happening to the Chaya Shakti also, that is called this material world. That's how we define. Okay. Go further. Okay. Now, Babaji. Which of Lord Krishna's potency is Radhika? Well, let us talk something on Radhika. Chalo. Then Vajna says, Lord Krishna is the master of potencies of his in his perfect original form. Sri Radhika is a potency in his perfect original form. Sri Radhika is the original manifestation of Lord's internal potency. A musk is not different from his fragrance, and a fire is not different from his power to burn. So Radhika and Radha and Krishna, who enjoy the nectar of transcendental pastime together, are eternally different and non-different from each other. From the eternal potencies, Radhika are manifested, the three potencies, Chit, Jiva Shakti, Chit Shakti and Jiva Shakti, and Maya Shakti. The three are seen to be three different kinds of Kriya Shakti. The Chit Shakti is also called Antaranga Shakti, and the Jiva Shakti is also called Tatastha Shakti. The Maya Shakti is also called Bahiranga Shakti. Although it is one, the Lord's internal potency assumes these three forms in order to act in three different ways. All the eternal opulences of the internal potency are fully manifested in Chit Shakti. An atomic fragment of each of these opulences is present in Jiva Shakti, and a perverted reflection of them is presented in Maya Shakti. The internal potency is also manifested in three other ways. These three manifestations are called Haladini, Sandini and Samvit. They are described in the words, in these words of the Dashamul. Savai Haladinya Pranaya Vikriti Haladini Lada Rata Tata Samvichakti Prakritya Rahito Raho Bhava Rasita Tayasri Sandhinyam Krita Vishada Tad Dhama Nichaye Rasam Bodo Magno Vrajarasa Vilasi Vijayate. The glory to Lord Krishna, who enjoys the nectar pastimes in Raja, who plays in a nectar ocean of transcendental mellow, who enjoys the feeling of ecstatic love brought by Ladini Shakti, who tastes the nectar of confidential love brought by the Samvit Shakti, and who resides in pure transcendental labor created by the Sandini Shakti. In this way, thus, the Lord internal potency manifests three features, Haladini, Sandini and Samvit. The Haladini Shakti, which in its complete form is Sri Radha, the daughter of Rishabhanu, brings transcendental bliss to Krishna. The form of higher ecstatic love, Mahabhav, is very dear and pleasing to Lord Krishna. She expands in so many other forms. She expands the eight principal gopis, Ashtasakis. The dear gopis, Priyasakis. The gopis speaking joking words, Narmasakhi. The gopi is more dear than life, Pranasakhi. And the most dear gopi, Parama Preshta Sakhi. These four kinds of gopis are manifested from different kinds of devotional service. These gopis are eternally perfect souls who reside in the spiritual world of Raja. The Samvit Shakti manifests three different relations with the people of Raja. The Samvit Sandini Shakti manifests the land, water, villages, forests, hills, Govardhan Hill, pastime places of Sri Krishna, Sri Radha. The gopa and gopi friends, their servants, the cows, all the other residents of Raja, their spiritual forms and the paraphernalia used in their pastimes. Pushed by the feelings of ecstatic love brought by the Haladini Shakti, Lord Krishna is always filled with transcendental bliss. The activities of the lover are brought by Samvit Shakti. Activities like Lord Krishna attracting the gopis by playing on the flute, by herding the cows, the Rasa dance pastimes. To perform all these activities, Lord Krishna takes shelter of Samvit Shakti. Always swimming in the nectar of transcendental mellow, Lord Krishna enjoys pastimes in the land of Raja, a land manifested by Sandini Shakti. Of all spiritual abodes, the land of Raja is the best. So now, we are very clear about this thing. That is, the internal potency of Krishna is there. There is external potency, there is marginal potency. Though we have these three potencies, that is, internal potency, external potency, marginal potency, which, in other words, they are known as Chit Shakti and Maya Shakti and Jiva Shakti. These three are also manifest from Parasya Shakti, from the Lord's own potency only. And each of these three has three aspects to it. What are they? Samvit, Sandini, Haladini. Samvit, Sandini and Haladini. So now, in the spiritual potency, the Antaranga Shakti, there are three aspects. What are they? Samvit, Sandini and Haladini. Haladini potency, what happens? Haladini potency gives pleasure to Krishna. And Sandini potency, what does? It arranges all the paraphernalia, like it is described here. The cow, the ad, expands, all these things happen. And the Samvit potency, it gives bhava. Different kinds of emotions which are manifested. So this subject matter is being described elaborately in Bhaktivedanta Sindhu and different Goswami books. At present we will not go into detail of this thing. Otherwise we will be just talking about different emotions which are happening, Sandini Shakti, all these things. But for technically we should understand three potencies, Samvit, Sandini, Radini. There are in all the three places where the spiritual potency, Antaranga Shakti also has three, the Shiva Shakti also has three, and Maya Shakti also has three. How they are? These three are in all the three places. Samvit, Sandini, Haladini, they are manifest in Jiva Shakti in a partial form. Samvit, Sandini, Haladini are manifest in Maya Shakti in a perverted form. So when Samvit, Sandini, Haladini, they are manifested in Maya Shakti or manifested in the material world, they are called what? Sattva Rajastama. You know where did Sattva Rajastama come from? So now what is the reflection? Whose reflection is Sattva Guna? Sandhini. Sandhini is existence. So in the material world, who is the person who maintains? What is the Shakti it maintains? Now, Samvit. Shakti reflects at what? Vit means knowledge. When it reflects, what becomes? Mode of ignorance. And Haladini is pleasure. What is the force in the material world which makes us, which drives us to seek pleasure? Passion. So you're getting very clear? Clear? Okay, you're laughing means that is, oh, it's clear but not clear. Achintya Veda Veda is going on. When you told it is clear, but after that, I know it's evaporated. So let me see how it will not evaporate from your consciousness. So, so one thing is for sure, the Chit Shakti, it reflects as Maya Shakti, okay? You told something which I am so lazy about. That is one thing which I cannot. Once I sit here, I can go for hours, but. Yeah, true. Okay, I think somebody can do that. You can do? Huh? Yeah. So people expect a lot of flip chart work from me, projector and dart and this, graphs and all these things. I somehow am so poor in those things. Okay. You just write Samvit Sandini Haladini on top. Samvit. Okay. Sandini, Haladini. Okay. Now, that Samvit in the material world becomes ignorance, mode of ignorance. Don't just note it. You understand why it is. Ignorance, right? Ignorance. Reflection of Samvit is ignorance, more and all, it's too much. Ignorance, okay? So why? What is the reflection of knowledge? Ignorance, isn't it? Okay. Okay, next, Sandini. What does Sandini do in the spiritual world? Existence or maintenance. Like Balaram, maintains expansion to this walls and that, Chintamani, Prakara, isn't it? So, what is the material world maintained eternally? But still, what is the potency which is trying to maintain this world? Goodness. But is it able to maintain? No. So, it is a failure in maintenance. Isn't it? So, Sandini, when it reflects in the material world, what it becomes? Becomes goodness. Okay. Next, Haladini. So, what is the thing which gives pleasure? What is the work of Haladini? Pleasure to Krishna. What is the? Is there any pleasure in this world? No. But what is the thing which seems to give you pleasure? Passion. It's passion. Okay. So now, the Samvit, Sandini, Haladini, they are present in the material world as perverted reflection in the form of goodness, passion, ignorance. So even if you say ignorance as material Samvit, passion as material Haladini, and Sandini as material goodness, nothing harm. Because these three energies are present in all the three states. Three energies. What are three energies? Chit, spiritual potency, present in Maya Shakti, and present in Jiva. So, when this, in the spiritual potency, Samvit, Sandini, Haladini, when they are in the material world, they are called reflection. But when they are present in the jiva, it is not called reflection, it is called partial manifestation. What is it? Partial manifestation. Why? Why it is called partial manifestation? Yes, because jiva is spiritual. It's spiritual. But at the same time, it is not the complete whole. That is why these potencies are present even in jiva. In what? Partial manifestation. And we'll see how they are present in jiva in partial manifestation. So what is that samvit present in jiva? Write down, jiva. Next. Let us finish off at one stretch. One more. Make one more. Again, samvit. There you write reflection and you can say the partial manifestation of these three energies in jiva. Govinda. So, you got it? From in jiva, how they are manifest? Yes. What is that knowledge which is present in the jiva in partial mode? What is that knowledge? The knowledge of impersonal Brahman. Impersonal Brahman. That we can say. And what is the thing? What is the Haladini aspect? Brahmananda. When pure jiva on its own, without not in association with Krishna, what are the things which he experiences? That is there. Like when jiva attains Brahman realization. Brahman realization means actually he knows I am there and nobody is there. Like you have this verse from the Bhagavad Gita. Brahmano ipratishtaham amritasya avyesa sashvatasya cha dharmasya sukas ekantikasya cha. Those are the features of the soul. Those are the features of the soul as it is. So what are they explained? Brahmanoi pratishtaham amritasya avyesya shashvatasya dharmasya sukasya ekantikasya cha. I think you need to have the words together. You have the Bhagavad Gita with you? You don't have the Bhagavad Gita, but you remember these words? They are very famous words. 14th chapter, last words. Isn't it? Chapter 14, last words of the 14th chapter. What is 14th chapter, last words. Where is starting? Got it? The words? Got it? Yeah. Read it. Brahmanoi pratishtaham. Shashvatasya cha dharmasya sukasya kantikasya cha. So now, what is the jiva experiencing at Brahman realization? Sukasya kantikasya cha. Ekanti sukha means what? I exist. That means, no real understanding of the spiritual bliss and no experience of any material misery. Material misery. And what is the knowledge which the jiva has? Sadhini. What amount of knowledge jiva is given? Knowledge means sadhini. Sadhini. What is the existence which jiva has? A feeling that I exist. That's all. A feeling that I exist. And this knowledge of existence is no way in connection with anybody. Like you ask that jiva, where are you? I don't know. Whom are you along with? I don't know. In the material world, you say, I am son of somebody, I am daughter of someone, wife of someone. You have identity, isn't it? And not only that, you ask, where are you? You will say, I am at this place, I am at this place. That is what you say. But in Brahman, you go and ask jiva, where are you? What will he say? I exist. Famous statement, soham, soham, I am soul. So, there is only the knowledge of its own existence, that's all. So, as the time goes by, I'll make it more clear, but just write, knowledge of its own existence. You are all devotees, then it's very difficult to convince about these things.
Why are all these three reflected in terms of impersonal Brahman?
Because that is the knowledge which is present in the soul. Eternality is present in the soul. The Samvit, Sandini and Haladini, they are expanding into the jiva. Jiva is a Shakti, isn't it? Potency of Krishna. What are the features of jiva without connection with Krishna? Means, like if you see Krishna, keep it separate. Okay, as it is, jiva. We say jiva is Sachitananda, isn't it? Krishna is also Sachitananda. Both substance in. Krishna Sat is the same as jiva Sat. Krishna Saladini is the same as jiva Saladini. Like we always use, okay, let us talk in ISKCON terms. Okay, chalo. Prabhupada said, qualitative oneness, quantitative difference. Okay, what is that quantitative difference? Chalo. Now we understand. Now I got a until as I speak in these terms, it's very difficult. Now we always heard this statement, isn't it? Qualitative oneness, quantitative difference. Okay, now we understand. Krishna is Sachitananda, we are also Sachitananda. Now tell me, have you ever inquired what is this quantitative difference? That is what is being explained here. Keep that in mind. Let us go further. When you are able to digest one part of it, we'll go to the next part of it later as the things go by. Tomorrow and day after tomorrow, 2 days are there. I'll try to get this thing drilled in you. But at least we have some idea that there is some quantitative difference. So what is that quantitative difference? That is not very clear. But there is a difference. So that much we have come to a position. So let us go further. Because I need to finish certain things here now. Pervertedness is with Maya. The jiva shakti is not perverted energy. That is why Krishna, what does he say? Apareyam itastvanyam prakritim vidhime param. He says, jiva is parashakti, Prabhu. It is a superior energy. But just because it is superior energy, that doesn't mean the Supreme Lord. You're getting the point. So if you say these things are perverted in jiva, that means it is wrong. You are experiencing the pervertedness because of association of Maya. But you are not perverted. No, I did not say transformation. What did I say? Manifestation. These Sat, Samvit, Sandini, Hanadi, which are full in Srimati Radharani, are partially manifest in jiva. That is called quantitative difference. See, this is called quantitative difference. And Madhvacharya would never discuss this, Because he says totally different. And we have to talk about it. Because the scriptures, they are talking the pure jiva, when they describe pure jiva, they are discussing as the pure jiva is as good as Krishna. The Vedas talk about it. When liberated souls, you know how much power they have? They're very powerful.
Seeing the liberated souls, people think that there is a Supreme Lord, that becomes a Supreme Lord. No. It is no. So, let us don't go into the depth now. First, the subject is what? What is the quantitative difference? That we all know. That is the subject. And what exactly is the quantitative difference will come. Okay, go further. 10 minutes more. Rajanath, you asked another question. Chalo. We have said that the internal potency is manifested as Haladini, Samvit and Samvit potency. A tiny fragment of the internal potency is Jiva Shakti. Hari Bol Prabhuji. A tiny fragment of the internal potency is Jiva Shakti. You can SMS to Bhujan Prabhu. I SMS you, but it did not go to you. Because Bhujan Prabhu asked one question. What is the proof that the living entity, the Jiva, is expansion of energy of Krishna? So here it is there. A tiny fragment of the internal potency is Jiva, and tiny fragment of the internal potency is Jiva. So now, here, when Krishna says, Mama eva amshaha, what does that mean? Whose? My potency is part and parcel. We are not Krishna's direct part and parcel. We are potencies, internal potencies, part and parcel. That is the reason we are supposed to give pleasure to Krishna. Because internal potency is giving pleasure to Krishna. And since we are part and parcel of Krishna, part and parcel internal potency of Krishna, we are supposed to join the internal potency to give pleasure to Krishna. If we are part and parcel of Krishna, it is like this. There is a guest, there is a host. Okay? So if you are coming along with the guest, what will the host do? He will treat you as a guest, as a servant of the guest, so they will also give pleasure to you. We are not. Who are we? We are part and parcel of the host, Prabhupada Radharani. So that is why we are supposed to give pleasure to Krishna through Srimati Radharani. Upanishads say, he expanded for his pleasure. What he expanded? No. This Radharani, as it is described that how she is expanded to Sakis, different kind of Sakis, she expands as Jivas. All of us. Expansion of internal potency. So that is why we are supposed to give pleasure to Srimati Radharani. To Krishna on behalf of or on being under the guidance of Srimati Radharani and Guru Parampara. That's what it is. Okay? Go further. And a reflected and a perverted reflection of internal potency is Maya Shakti. So read this statement again. We have said that internal potency is manifested as Haladini, Samvit and Sandini potencies. A tiny fragment of the internal potency is Jiva Shakti. Tiny fragment of the internal potency is Jiva Shakti. And a perverted reflection is of the potency is Maya Shakti. Please tell me how Haladini, Samvit and Sandini potencies work in Jiva Shakti and Maya Shakti. That is what the subject we did. And intentionally did before we entered into the verse. Because you create confusion and then talk knowledge, then it will go. Otherwise you directly talk knowledge. It is like this. Arjuna. Suppose Arjuna did not have any question. If Krishna would start the Bhagavad Gita saying that you are not this body, you are a spirit soul. He says, asochanva sochanam. Bhagavad Gita starts as asochanva sochanam. Pragnya vadam shibhashti. It is not so wonderful. Once you read the first chapter, and then you are adequately confused, and Arjuna is confused, then... It is a system, actually. It is a Vedic system. Like if, you know, even I'll teach you, you can use this technique. If you cannot convince, confuse a person. Next day when he comes, he says, what did you say? Then he hears. It is like that. You make a person hungry and then you give rasgulla or something that is nice. Otherwise, if you give directly, take it for granted, isn't it? You make him hungry and then you die. Okay, then. In Jiva Shakti, which is atomic fragment of the internal potency, got this line?
atomic fragment of the internal potency, a fragmental part of these three potencies, they are Haladini Shakti, is manifested as eternal bliss of impersonal Brahman. Samvit Shakti is manifested as individual soul's awareness of the impersonal Brahman. Sandini is manifested as the spiritual form of the spirit soul. Okay? You wish to know about the individual spirit souls? That is how you should understand them. In Maya Shakti, Haladini Shakti manifested material happiness. Samvit manifested material knowledge. And Sandini Shakti is manifested as 14 material worlds, external material bodies, external conditioned souls. As simple as that. Okay? So now you may say, this Sattva Rajasthama, where did it come from? These are nothing but the actions of Sattva Rajasthama. Okay? So last one, we'll just go. If these activities are so easily explained, why are the Lord's potencies called inconceivable? He says it is so easily explained. But actually saying it's easily. One devotee told me in Bombay, Prabhuji, why you complicate things? Then I told. Yes. True. But I told the devotee saying that, you know, I am thinking I am making things easy. That means I am in a total illusion. Anyhow, go further. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about it. He says that when they are considered one by one, each feature is easily understood. However, when all the features are considered together, they are beyond understanding. In the material world, naturally contradictory qualities do not exist together in the same place, for they would negate each other. It is the inconceivable nature of Krishna's potency that in the spiritual world, all mutually contradictory qualities exist happily together, and the result is very beautiful and pleasing. So now, should we complicate or what? So now, I would like to quote a verse or a sutra from the Tattva Sutras of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So please repeat this very interesting after me. Please repeat after me. Viruddha, repeat.
Viruddha.
Samanyam. Tasmin. Na chitram. Viruddha samanyam. Tasmin na chitram. Viruddha samanyam. Tasmin na chitram. So, now we all know God is very peaceful. Shantakaram bhujaga shayanam padmanavam shureshanam. What is Narasimha doing? Shantakaram. So now you find both are contradictory. That is called viruddha. Viruddha means contradictory. Now in Krishna, two contradictory things. Viruddha, samanyam. Samanya means what? Harmonized. Krishna is peaceful at the same time angry. Krishna is unlimited at the same time limited. Krishna is aptakama, he is fully satisfied at the same time feels hungry. If you read Damodar Lila, a commentary by Vishwanatha Chakravarti, even Prabhupada's commentary also, you will find 8 contradictions harmonized. 8 contradictions harmonize. In that particular lila itself, Krishna became angry, he fears personality, is afraid of him, but at the same time he is afraid. So the viruddha, contradictory qualities are samanyam. Samanyam means what? Harmonized. Tasmin na chitram. In this there is no astonishment. Na chitram means astonishment. So in Krishna, two contradictory qualities can coexist at the same time. In that, there is no question of any. There is no wonder in that. Yeah. But in the material world, even the same things are wonder. Similar things are a wonder. Hey, what is this? So, that subject, we'll try to do it tomorrow. Some more pages are left. I don't know how many pages are left. Are they 8, 7 pages? Tattva Sutras. Tattva Sutras. Ajaya Dharma, 14th chapter, I suppose. 14th chapter. You can tell him. In many places it is there. It's not a new thing. Because it is Shakti. Shakti comes out of Shakti only. Isn't it? Okay, that rest things we'll do tomorrow. I'm spending more time on Shakti because it's a very, very important subject. So I at least got one thing across the table today. That is Shakti Paridama Vad. Okay? If you go home and ask somebody, what did you learn? At least if you tell Shakti Paridama Vad, I'll be happy. Okay. Hare Krishna. So we'll stop here. I don't want to.
No question time?
Question time, yeah. You can ask questions. I'm here. I'm only worried about others. Yeah, one question you can take. Vairagya Panta, yes. Nivritti Marga, yes. It is known as Nivritti Marga. Yeah. It is known as Nivritti Nivritti Marga. There is Nivritti Pravritti, Pravritti Nivritti, so many things are there. It is Nivritti Nivritti Marga. Yes, yes, yes. We are Hare Krishnas. That is why sannyas, we consider sannyas to be a material designation. We don't consider sannyas to be a spiritual designation. Even Brahman is a material designation. Yes, you don't have to take Brahman initiation to go back to God. One recently in Brahman initiation happened in our temple. One lady did not get, she made a big hue and cry. Why are people crying? I told, why you want to go back home, back to God? Best thing is chant Hare Krishna.
Second question about the manifestations of the Nagarani.
Yeah, yeah.
Shakti.
Yes, yes. Shakti, Shaktiman, Bheda, Bheda, Bheva, Prakash.
And what are the mothers and the fathers and
They're all expansions. Because, yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes. Yeah, no, they are. You see, Radharani, she has different categories of Shaktis. Jiva is one small category. They are Parshadas. Yes, yes, yes. But there are some who are jivas, sadhana siddha jivas, who enter that. They are there. They are different. Those shaktis, direct manifestations, like they are given here. There's priya sakis, priya priyashta sakis. They are all own, Radharani's own personal expansions. They are not like jivas, partial manifestations or expansion like that. They are not like that. Yes, yes. So these expansions are in different categories. In that category, Jiva is somewhere last. Because they don't have the... they will never be bewildered by Maya. They are the paraphernalia which Radharani uses for giving Krishna. There are some. Even cows are also not the same. All not the same. Krishna's own cows are there. In that also different categories are there. And the other Gwalbals, they have their cows. So there are different categories. Like that. Okay. That is why I intentionally did not speak about those things. Because you know, in Vrindavan, you know, if you talk about all these things, and you have to bring all these books of Lalita Madhu, Vidagdha Madhu, and all these things, and become another seminar. So we don't want that. Because we are doing in a particular way. Yeah, yeah. Deeper, but it is there. Okay, stop it. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.